This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Yeah, happy Monday to you. You are in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. John Lopez, Reginald Atatula, and Figgy Fig hanging out with you on a Reaction Monday, reacting to the Texans and their NFL draft haul of sorts, breaking that down. And there's all sorts of things happening on the text line, the Jim Allen, the text hammer text line, 713-572-4610. Like this from the 832. Put Christian Kirk out there, Jalen Knoll, Brevin Jordan, and then maybe Woody Marks or Mixon, and then call it the NASCAR package.
There we go. Yeah.
Just have dudes running up and down the field. I like what you're doing there. I like where our minds collectively are going with this Texans team. We'll get more into that as we continue through the program, but I did want to talk about another team that moves really fast, the Rockets, Houston Rockets, who are in the first round series against the Golden State Warriors, and unfortunately they've fallen to 2-1, playing out there in San Francisco on Saturday night, a 104-93 loss to the Warriors that in and of itself would not be as frustrating if you did not also look up and see that Jimmy Butler, who is the thing for the Warriors that helped their team become more viable as a playoff team this year, seeing that they were struggling before they were able to acquire his services, seeing him be out with a gluteus contusion, if memory serves me, because my brain keeps going to booty bruise, which I feel like is not the right way to say it over these airwaves.
He's butt hurt.
I definitely wouldn't say it that way.
Yeah.
But he was out for that game in game three, and it felt like it didn't matter, right? That felt like an opportunity that was very much missed by the Rockets, especially if Steph Curry is the singular engine of a Warriors team, and you can throw what should be one of the best defenses at him exclusively, and he comes out of it with 36-9. And 7 rebounds, mind you, as well, which is that's a funny thing. But you lose that game. How much are you making of this particular game, especially when you consider, like, after a 38-point performance from Jalen Green, now I'm just questioning myself every time I say the name Jalen.
Yeah.
He only gave you 9 of them things with 5 assists, but only 9 points in this one. Like, how much are you reading into this particular game?
A lot. I don't see how you can't. I mean, this is the postseason, man. I mean, this loss was not about, to me, the Warriors at all. It was about the Rockets.
Okay.
You know, the Rockets just fell short. Like you know, people often say, well, you can't do that, you know, but in the playoffs, you can't have two, not just one, but two of your players that you're counting on the most just not show up. Can't do that. I mean, the two players the Rockets counted on and needed the most, especially when you consider, you know, that Jimmy Butler is not on the other team, they've had two of the three games, they've come up short. You know, Jalen Green is 7-for-26 from the field in games 1 and 3. That. You can twist this any way you want, but it's about those two guys, especially Jalen Green. You know, it just, you know, after his big game in game two, we're like, okay, and I said it, I was guilty of it. Seems like he's kind of settled in. Well, he didn't. You know, he hadn't settled in. Jalen Green, if you don't have that superstar player, and we've talked about it, you know, the top 5, top 10 player that you can count on every game, if Jimmy Butler's not on the other side, you have to win that game and you have to show up.
I agree. Now, you talked about feeling like he had settled in game two. Mm-hmm. Something that we talked about headed into game three was there is an additional level of settling in that is probably going to be necessary when you talk about playing on the road in the postseason, because that is a different animal in and of itself. How much do you feel like that factored in? Does that give you any level of pause to getting to, you know, because I don't want us to like jump off the gym without considering all the other circumstances, including playing a road playoff game and understanding the different levels of energy that's there, the different levels of excitement and emotions that's there. Do you feel like that factored in, or is that something that you're willing to sweep to the side?
Maybe I'm just being too harsh here. I think it's inexcusable. I really do. You can't, you can't win a series when the best, most important player on your team just doesn't show up.
Sure.
I mean, am I being too hard? I mean, because of the road and their first playoff series and everything else? I don't think so, but maybe I am. That was an inexcusable performance.
Agreed.
Yeah.
And I think that especially with the way that this postseason has been situated for a long time for the Rockets, mm-hmm. as a barometer, as a little bit of a test to see what moves need to be made, what is the next step. I think a lot of people are immediately going to, especially seeing a Jalen Green real up and down, mm-hmm. having himself a nice game, but how much of that is like kind of what you expect as a pop from a role player as opposed to kind of the lead guy. Even Alperen Şengün, who was the mm-hmm. metronome in game one, has not had a similar quite game as we've continued. I know that people are kind of using this to go to the star player argument, and I do think that there is some fairness in there. But can I maybe sell you on the idea mm-hmm. that there's a different acquisition that I think is going to be more important?
What's that?
That is acquiring a offensive coach. Not a head coach. I'm not saying get rid of Ime Udoka. Please don't read me as that. But I think on his staff, I don't necessarily know who I point to on mm-hmm. that staff. A youthful staff and a staff that has acquitted themselves fairly well, to be fair. But a youthful staff, I don't know who I point to that I go, they are driving this offensive, you know, this offensive attack
yeah.
in such a way where I know what to depend on. I know what they're trying to get to, and I know that they can get to it in any circumstance. Because you point to Jalen Green not having a good game. You point mm-hmm. to, in that game in particular, you could see the Warriors trying to wall him off, you know, doing some really good things, funneling him to the big where they would have some mm-hmm. help. Those are things that, you know, yes, that's good defense, but there's things that then you need to do as a counter move.
Yeah.
That I did not necessarily see. I could, and I was sitting, I had the good fortune of watching this game with B. Scott, with Ron Hughley, and I was sitting there, and as this game continues, I kept asking myself, what are they trying to get to?
Yes.
And way far too often, the answers were dissatisfying. Mm-hmm. And I know I saw someone even talking about this on the text line, right? You know, late in the game, you know, going, they said they're probably going down 3-1 tonight because they noticed towards the end of the game, down 7-8, what have you, the ball was going to amend to take contested layups. And that's something where if you were able to scheme mm-hmm. up your offense, understanding that there's limitations to this, but yeah. you should be able to find yourself in better circumstances as opposed to what we are trying to get, not mm-hmm. what we have fallen into, but what we are trying to get is Amen Thompson taking a contested layup.
Yeah. Look, I'm glad you brought that up because I jotted down three thoughts kind of as subplots to the Jalen Green thing, and one of them is exactly what you said, but the first one is longer term. It's, you know, you have to get that superstar. We talked about that, right?
You do, but this is why I think it's yeah. bigger, is because you get a superstar, and how much of your offense, if right. you are planning on being a just very good team, is just going to be yeah. go for what you know. Yeah. Let's use Kevin Durant as the stand-in because we know there's some mutual interest or what have you. But yeah. whatever guy, even if it's like, yo, the Phoenix Suns for mm-hmm. some reason decided they wanted to come off Devin Booker, come on down, even if that's it. How much do you go here? The entire offense is going to be built out of you figuring out what the hell to do.
Well,
I don't think that's tenable.
That's the second thing I wrote down. Is offense Ime Udoka's kryptonite? That's what it is. You know, running an offense, finding a gotta have it kind of offensive set, being able to go from one to the other, you know, seamlessly in the midst of a big possession. It's his kryptonite. And the third thing, frankly, I'm very surprised about that I wrote down is, and that's Fred VanVleet. I mean, he's shooting 27%, man.
Yeah, it's been really problematic.
He shot 27% in 41 minutes. He's the guy that's supposed to be the calming influence, the leadership influence.
He got the experience.
He's got the experience, all that. You know, Jalen Green's going to get the brunt of it. I don't think Fred VanVleet should be off the hook at all here.
And I don't think he is. Yeah. The only thing that makes it tough is that the intangible things that he brings mm-hmm. are necessary, and they kind of make it so that you at times need him on, you know, really not at times, often need him on the floor. But if he is not bringing enough in other ways where you talk about knocking down shots and things of that nature, mm-hmm. it almost becomes like problematic. It almost becomes a net negative
yes.
having him out there, even though he's helping you kind of organize your defense. He's helping you keep yourself calm and stay on track. When you're staying on track and you don't have very much to get to, mm-hmm. it all just does not mesh. And so that was a very, very frustrating game to watch, on top of the idea that you seem to have a leg up. You seem to have an opportunity to do something, especially because the Warriors were hampered. You knew that there was going to be one particular place that they would go to. And to be fair to them, there was instances where you had good defense and better offense. Mm-hmm. But that's the difference in playing playing in the playoffs and playing against a player of that caliber. And so it was really, really tough to have that happen. Do you think that this then tells you all you need to know from the series, or do you think there's still opportunities for this Rockets team to try and punch back? Because it's still 2-1.
It's still 2-1, and you still have an opportunity tonight, you know, to maybe right the ship a little bit and at least get, you know, a home court back and all that. Two things are going to be very important. Is Jimmy Butler playing tonight? That's number one. And is he going to be able to play? And the second thing is, that's two games where Jalen Green hasn't showed up. I mean, I don't know if you can overcome that. Two games where he was a negative?
Well, I mean, one of the things about Jalen Green is that we know historically he can be a roller coaster.
Yeah.
So do you then do the thing where you just hope that when you get the good Jalen Green game, or maybe even the great Jalen Green game, that you make sure you win those ones and see if you can get 4 out of 7 of those? Is that the game that you're ultimately playing here to some degree? I don't know for certain, but it does seem like at the very least part of the mix that has to happen for you to get a win is that is getting significantly more from Jalen Green. I don't know that 38 is necessary, but you got to get into the doubles at the double digits at the very, very least of what you were doing there. But yeah, there you go. The Rockets unfortunately fall. They'll play again tonight. They're back 8:30 p.m. Oh, sorry, 7:30 p.m. because it's 8:30 Eastern time. 7:30 is God's time. They'll be playing in San Francisco, and you'll be able to see that on TNT, but then also Space City Home Network. Maybe that was it. Maybe it's just, you know, they was playing on ABC. There's no Craig Ackerman and Ryan Hollins. I mean, we can get back to that and we can stabilize all this. All right. You're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, let's ease our way back into a little bit of the draft as, you know, our question of the day ties into something that happened during the draft. The Patriots social media account did something that very much felt like an oh no moment. So with that being the case, what was the time that you said or did something that you immediately regretted? 713-572-4610. We'll do it next.